Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to our Daf a Week Shir. We are up to Yudalad Amud Aleph. We are six lines down, about four words into the line at Amar Le Shmuel. So just a quick note before we begin. The goal of this year was always never to be an extensively long one. And over the last several weeks, certainly it's been, or I guess we haven't met in the last few weeks, but before that, each year seems to be getting longer and longer because of the nature of Chagiga and because of the fact that some of these dafim are just very large. So what I'm going to be switching to now for a little bit, you know, as we get through some more of this in more of an intense Agadata, I'm going to do more just an Amud a week instead of a Daf a week, and we'll see how that works in terms of the timing and everything. And based on that, you'll give me feedback. You'll let me know if you don't like it, if you want to go faster, if you want to go slower, and then we'll go from there. But I wanted to just try this a little bit differently to see if it might be a little bit smoother. So that'll be the goal today. We'll go basically on, we're on now Yudalad Amud Aleph, and we'll try to get to the top of Gyudalad Amud Beis, and that will be our goal. So, we are six lines down, seven lines down from the top at Amar Le Shmuel. So we were speaking about a lot of different things as they pertain to heavens and angels and different things like that. And now Shmuel is going to come, and he's going to basically share a teaching that will lead us to a conversation for the rest of the Amud, all talking all about different angels and when they're created, and then we're going to go to talk about the times of the Beis Hamikdash, and Yeshaya basically said that there were 18 different groups of people that were punished and that were destroyed. So let's begin, and we'll take it line by line. So Amar Le Shmuel L'Chia Bar Rav. So Shmuel said to Chia Bar Rav, Bar Aryeh, son of Tov, Torah, right? You're such a great Torah scholar. Ta emalecha milsa mehani mili me'al yusa dehava amaravucha. He says, come, let me tell you something, an amazing thing that your father used to say. Your father was evidently a tremendous Talmud Chacham as well. And so let me tell you something that your father used to say. Your father was obviously Rav. So kol yoma v'yoma, here's what he said. Kol yoma v'yoma nevra'in malachi hasharis minahar dinor v'amri shira ubatle. Every single day, the Malachi Asharis, the ministering angels, the new ones, were created out of this Nahar Dinor, the stream of fire that we've been speaking about previously. And what would these Malachi Asharis, what would they do? Amrei Shira, they would sing songs, they would sing praises to Hashem. Ubatle, and immediately afterwards, or sometime shortly after thereafter, these angels would cease to exist, they would be destroyed. Shenemar, Chadashim Lebakarim, Rabba Emunasecha, there were new ones that were created every morning, and they would sing great praise to you, to Hashem. Okay, so that's what Rav, there was a teaching that he used to say. Upliga de Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, and this evidently is arguing with a statement from Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, the Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini said the name of Rabbi Yonasan. Kol dibor v'dibor sheyotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nivra mimenu malach echad. So in other words, Rav said that there was just a whole new group of angels that were created every single day, and I guess the thought is that's all. Just a few angels were created every single day, and they sing Shira. But according to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, there was an angel that was created with every single word that came out of the mouth of Hashem. With every single word, a new angel was created, one new angel. So if he said 10 words, that means 10 new angels were created. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Bedavar Hashem shamayim naasu uvaruach piv kol tzva'am." Right? With the words of Hashem, the heavens were created, and with the wind of his mouth, all of the hosts were created. So fine. So kasav echad. So period. Kasav echad omer levusha kiteleg chiyor v'sha'ar. One second. So here we have a pasuk from Daniel. You always can tell when there's a pasuk from Daniel, usually because it sounds very Aramaic. So here's what the pasuk means. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like clean wool. And Daniel, in describing Hashem, explains that he wore this white outfit, and he had white hair. He was a blonde, if you will. or a little bit whiter than that. And but here's the problem. The Kasiv Kvutsu Sav Taltalam Shechoros Ka'oriv. It says that his locks are like wavy and black as the raven. So you have one pasuk in Daniel that seems to say that Hashem's hair, whatever that means, kivayachol, right? It's an anthropomorphism. Hashem doesn't actually have a body, but in whatever way, there is an image of God's kivayachol that appeared that his hair was white. And then here you have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that we just read over Pesach that says that Hashem's hair was black. So how do you have this contradiction? One that says his hair was white and one that says his hair was black. Lo kashish, the Gemara says, no, it's not a kash at all. Kan be yeshiva. And Kan b'Melchama. One of the situations going on over here, the pasuk that refers to the fact that Hashem has white hair, is talking about Hashem in the context of like sitting in yeshiva. What that means is like Hashem sitting and learning, teaching Torah, etc. Again, exactly what that means is unclear, but whatever. So Kan b'yeshiva. So here, when Hashem is in yeshiva, he has white hair. Why does he have white hair? Because as we'll see later on in the daf, there is a concept that a zakin is the most impressive thing in a base medrash, right? If you have a choice between a bachar and a zakein, a young person or an old person in a base medrash, the old person is always better because you assume that they've been there longer and they've been learning more Torah. So when Hashem has white hair, that means he's an older kaviyachol person, and therefore that's him in the yeshiva context. But who are you more impressed with at war? You're more impressed with at war the young person, right? The 80-year-old or the 25-year-old. 25-year-old is probably going to be stronger at war. So the when Hashem has black hair, that's Hashem in milchama. That's Hashem in war. Damar mar. Oh, I apologize, not later on in the daf, right here, that we learned a teaching previously, that there's nothing as beautiful in yeshiva like a zakin, like an elderly person. And the most beautiful thing in war is a bachar, is a young person, for again, like we explained, for obvious and understandable reasons. An older person has probably been learning Torah longer, and a younger person is probably stronger. The older person, therefore, is going to be good in yeshiva, and the younger person is going to be good at war. Fine. Kasav echad, another statement. Kasav echad omer kraseh shvivin dinor, that there's one pasuk that refers to the throne of Hashem. It says his throne was of fiery flames. The kasav echad omer, another pasuk says ad dai karsun rama v'atek yomin yasiv, another pasuk that says explaining that I watched as the thrones were set up and the one of ancient days sat. What's the problem? In one pasuk we see kraseha, that's singular for throne. Hashem only has one throne. And another pasuk that says karson, that he has thrones, multiple thrones. So which one is it? Does God have one throne or does he have multiple thrones? Lo kasha. It says the Gemara, no, not a contradiction at all. Echad lo, the echad the David. Look, so the Gemara says something very puzzling over here. There were two thrones in the heavens. One was for Hashem, one was for David HaMelech. Goes without saying why that's a complicated statement. David HaMelech is a Basav Adam. He's a human being. He's not a deity. He doesn't get the throne in heaven. But evidently, there was a teaching that said that no, one of the thrones was exactly for David, and one of the thrones was for Hashem. Okay, the Tanya that got taught in the Brace, who was the one who taught this? Echad lo ve'echad David. Rabbi Akiva, none other than Rabbi Akiva, was the one who said that there were two thrones in heaven. One was for Hashem, and one was for David. And therefore, going back to the Pesukim, how do you make sense of this? So the Pesuk that says that there is one throne, that means there's one throne for Hashem. The pasuk that says there's two thrones, it means that there's two thrones, one for David and one for Hashem. So that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, Akiva, ad masai ata usa shchina chol. So Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, what are you talking about, Rabbi Akiva? How long are you going to make the shchina of Hashem? How long are you going to make God's presence profane? You're desecrating the name of God by equating him, in a sense, with David, that Hashem has a throne and David has a throne. Ridiculous. Ela echad ladin ve'echad v'tzdaka. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili has an important idea in which he says that no, Hashem does have two thrones. What are the two thrones? He has one throne for judgment. Whenever Hashem judges, he has a throne. Whenever Hashem gives out tzedakah, is righteous, he gives out charity, then in those situations, Hashem has a second throne. So when you have the one pasuk that has God on one throne, that's one of those thrones. When you have another pasuk that says plural throne, it's talking about all of God's thrones, the two of them, the din throne and the tzedakah throne. Kibla mine, olo kibla mine. So the Gemara says, well, okay, fine. So that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili probably makes a pretty fair point, and we probably should not accept Rabbi Akiva says says, because it sounds a little bit like Kfira. So the Gemara wants to know, did Rabbi Akiva accept this statement of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, or did he reject it and continue saying what he had originally said? Tashma, come in here, we have a braisa that says, Echad adin, ve'echad atzedaka, deri Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva later on explained these psukim, this contradiction, as explaining that God has two thrones, not that there's one for God and one for David, but that God has two thrones, one for judgment and one for tzedaka. Okay, now, with that, the braisa continues, Amar lo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, he says, Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing learning Agadah, talking in Agadah? This is not your turf, Rabbi Akiva. He says, stop speaking. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. Save your words and save your teachings when it comes to teaching about the halachos of Negayim and the halachos of Ohalos, these types of laws in Tumah Tahara. Rabbi Akiva, you're the master. When it comes to halacha, Rabbi Akiva, from, I guess, evidently simple to complicated, you are the man. When it comes to Agadah, Rabbi Akiva, you don't know what you're talking about. Please don't talk about this. Ela echa the kisei, the echa the sars, So it's not that God has two thrones per se, it's that God has one throne that's a chair and one throne that's a footstool. Now that makes a lot of sense. What does a king have? When you look and go into a regular palace, every good king has a throne and a footstool to put his feet. You have a recliner and you have the foot area. So that's what God's throne was like. Yeah, he had two thrones, not two chairs, one chair and one footstool. That's what it means. Kisei l'shevalav, he had a chair to sit on, srafraf lehadom raglav, and the footstool to put his feet up on. Shenemar hashemayim kisai v'haaretz hadom raglav, that the heavens, that's my chair, right? Hashem would sit in the heavens, and the land, the earth, that's where I put my feet up. So it's exactly explaining this idea. Good. Kiasa Ravdimi Amar Shna. So now a new idea. Kiasa Ravdimi Amar Shmona Esrei Klalos Kilel Yeshaya Es Yisrael Velo Niskarara Daito Ad Shamar Lehem HaMikra Hazeh. So shifting gears a little bit, no longer are we talking about Malachim or Hashem or the heavens. Now we're talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and really we're just going to focus on these teachings of Yeshaya. Several psukim that come up in the course of Yeshaya that are dealing with Yeshaya's warnings of what is going to happen when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And so Yeshaya, so the Gemara says, Rav Dimi says, there were 18 curses that Yeshaya cursed the Jewish people with, and lonis karara daito, meaning like, he didn't feel good about himself, meaning he wanted to keep cursing the Jewish people until he finally got to the following pasuk, the following curse, and this final pasuk, at that point, he's like, okay, fine, I guess that's enough curses to curse, to condemn the Jewish people with. So what was the pasuk that he said that was the nail on the coffin? Yarhavu hanar bezakin v'hanikle b'nichbad. The pasuk says that the people are going to be oppressed, man by man and man by his fellow. That's before the words that we just read. And then to define the words that we just read, that they will domineer the youngster over the elder and the base over the respectable. Meaning, what's going to be the linchpin, the most horrible part of this galus? It's going to be the fact that the young people, the people who are not fitting to lead, the disgusting people, the disrespectful people, they're going to be the leaders, even though obviously you would assume people like that can never be leaders. But in this topsy-turvy time, those types of individuals will be the leaders. And that was the last major curse that Yeshaya gave to the Jewish people before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But now the Gemara is going to want to say, fine, so you said there were 18 curses, and then there was this major one that we just read. What were the 18 curses that Yeshaya gave? So now the Gemara, between now and the end of the Amud, is going to list and try and understand and define what these curses actually were and what they looked like. So, Shmona Esrei, we're now went on to the first the first of the widest lines. So Shmona Esrei Klalos Maininu, what are the 18 curses that Yeshaya gave to the Jewish people? Dichtiv, so the Pasuk says, several Pesukim say, so we'll read through them and then we'll translate. Ki hine ha'adon Hashem Tzvakos Masir Mirushalayim u'Meyehuda Mishan u'Mishana Kol Mishan Lechem v'Kol Mishan Mayim Gibor v'Ish Mechama Shovit v'Navi v'Kosim v'Zakin Sarchamishim v'Naso Panim v'Yoitz v'Chacham Charashim v'Navon Lachash v'Nasati Na'arim Sarehim v'Ta'alulim Yimshalu Bam. Okay, so there was a lot of psukim there, so let's translate the whole thing in one swoop. So the psukim mean, for behold, the Lord Hashem, Master of Legions, is removing from Yerushalayim and from Yehuda support and like a mainstay, every support of bread and every support of water. He's removing the heroes and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the diviner, the elder, the captain of 50, and the respected person, the advisor, the scholar of scholars, and the comprehender of whispers. And then it concludes that I shall make youngsters their leaders, and mockers will rule over them. And so that is what the Yeshaya says. So now the Gemara is going to explain word by word what this all means. So Mish'an, we say that God is going to remove like the support. So what's the support that God's going to remove? So Elu Bali Mikra, these are the people who are like masters of Torah, masters of Tanakh, the people who are masters in Scripture. God's going to make sure that those people are no longer alive. Mish'ana Elu Bali Mishnah, the mainstay. These are the people who are the masters in Mishnah that God's going to get rid of. Kigon Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema v'chaverav, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema and his friends, all the people in his generation, they were masters of Mishnah. So people like that were destroyed. Pligu Bar Rav Papa v'Rav. Now there was a machlokes between Rav Papa and Rabbanan. Exactly how masterful was Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema and the people in his generation? So Charamar Sheshmios Sidrei Mishnah veCharamar Shevameos Sidrei Mishnah. So evidently there's an important rule that the Gemara is teaching over here, that we know that there's Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, that there are six Siddurim of Mishnayos and Shas, etc. But when it comes to the original teachings, the original oral Torah as it was from Har Sinai, there were originally 600 or 700 Siddurim of Mishnayos. Not that there were things that we no longer have in terms of the actual halachos and the actual mitzvos, but that there were a more defined and more clearly explained aspects split up into the 600 or 700 Siddurim. And evidently the experts in Mishnayos, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, he and his friends were so masterful that they didn't know just the 6 Siddurim of Mishnayos that we have, but they knew all 600 or 700. The question is how many was it? Was it 600 or 700? So one opinion says that they were masters in 600 Siddurim in Mishnayos, and another opinion says that they were masters in 700 Siddurim of Mishnayos. Then the Pasuk says further, the third curse, so those types of people were going to be destroyed. Kol Mish'an Lechem, then the it says every support of bread. Elu Bali Tama, these are the people who are masters of Gemara. Shenemar lichu lachmu belachmi v'shasu b'yayin masachti. Regarding people who learn Gemara, that it says, come and partake of my bread and drink of the wine that I mixed. Meaning that people who know Gemara are referred to people who have bread. So a baal lechem is a baal Gemara, and those people are going to be destroyed. B'chol mishan mayim, and then every support of water is going to be destroyed as well. Well, Elu Bale Agata, these are the people who are the masters in Agata. They know all the stories, they know all these different types of teachings. Shemushchen libo shel adam kemayim be'agada. That what do people who are Bale Agada, the storytellers, what is their skill? That they're moshich the levavos, that they pull in the hearts of men, like a person draws water. That's how much they draw in the hearts of men. How do they do that? With Agada, with storytelling. So these individuals who are like water drawers, and that when they tell stories, they draw people in, those people will also be destroyed. Gibor, so the strong men or the heroes. Zeb Baal Shmuos. So what's a Baal Shmuos? It means like a master of like hearings, or master of teachings. So it means like the halacha. So anyone who's like a master of halachic teachings, halachic traditions, they're also going to be destroyed. The Ish Melchama, and the man of war, or man of war, who is that? Zeh Sheyodea Lisa Velitin B'Melchem Teshel Torah. Now we're talking about someone who knows how to, like, you know, he knows like the push and pull. He knows the ins and outs of like going to war with the Torah, to really battle and try to understand what the Torah is talking about. That those people are also going to be destroyed. Shofet, now the judges, Zed Dayan Shadan Din Emes Lamiso. This is the judges of the generation who really know how to judge, meaning they judge properly. They give truthful judgment no matter what. So they're also going to be destroyed. Navi, okay, a prophet. That's exactly like it sounds. The prophets are going to be destroyed. Kosein, so this is like a diviner. This is the ninth curse, if you're keeping count. Zem Melech, and now we're talking about the kings, or the king rather. The king is going to be destroyed. And how do we know that a king is referred to as a diviner? Shenemar Kesem Al Sifasai Melech, that there's divination that's on the mouth of the king. And so evidently kings have some sort of ability to divine. And when we say the diviners, we mean the king. kings. Zakin, and the elder is going to be the destroyed. Zesha ra'oy liyeshiva. So remember earlier, this is how maybe how it all connects. We were speaking about before that Hashem, when he has silver hair, when he has white hair, that means he's like ready for yeshiva, because the elder people are better in yeshiva. So the elders, evidently, they have a more preferred place. We want them to be in yeshiva because they know more Torah. So when Yeshaya said that the Zakenim, that they're going to be taken away, who is he referring to? Anyone who is ra'oy liyeshiva, anyone who is like truly fitting to be sitting and learning and teaching in yeshiva, those people were going to be destroyed. Sar Chamishin, and then the Torah, then Yeshaya says that the captain of the 50, that they were destroyed. Who is this? What is this talking about? Al Tikrei Sar Chamishin, that says the Gemara, no. It's true, it says Sar Chamishin, the captain of 50, but don't read it like that. Ela Sar Chumashin. No, he's the master of Chumash. He knows the Chamisha Chumashi Torah. Zeshe Yodea Lisa Velitin Bi Chamisha Chumashi Torah. He knows how to grapple and fight and argue and understand and struggle with the words of the Torah. That's who this person is, and that person is going to be destroyed as well. Or, by the way, the Gemara has another interpretation of this. Davar Acher. What's another way to understand the Pasuk in Yeshaya? Sar Chamishin. Kid the Rabbi Abahu, like Rabbi Abahu says, Damar Rabbi Abahu. Mikan. There used to be back in the day, just a historical point that we need to be aware of. Back in the day, there used to be there was like a Rebbe who would teach the Torah, and maybe he would speak in his own language, Lashon HaKodesh, if you will, and he would speak all over, and he would speak quietly, so he doesn't have the ability to scream all the time. So there would always be a Meturgeman, there would be a translator there who the Rebbe would teach it to the Meturgeman, and the Meturgeman would scream it and say it out to everyone. So Rabbi Abahu had a teaching from this Pasuk. What does it mean, Sar Chamishim, a captain of 50? It means that we don't appoint a Meturgeman to someone who is younger than 50. In other words, if you have like a 45-year-old rabbi, he doesn't get a Meturgeman, seemingly because we assume that he's not great enough in Torah yet. He's not deserving of a Meturgeman. But once you have a great Torah scholar that hits the age of 50, then he's deserving of a Meturgeman. That's what the Pasuk, he's deserving of someone who's able to translate for him to the people, and that's what the Pasuk means in Yeshaya. When he was Sachamishim, you have to wait till the captain is 50 years old. Then you're able to give him a Meturgeman. V'naso panim. Then the pasuk says, like a naso panim is like a respected person. Zeshen nosin panim the doro ba'avuru the mala. So this is someone who is like the reason. How do you define this? This is the person who, like that generation, the generation above, is able to exist. And we'll see what that means in a second. We'll see Rashi in a second. But who is an example of this? Kagon Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is this person. So what does the Gemara mean over here? So take a look at Rashi. Sort of like in the middle of the skinny lines, the Dibur HaMachil is Lemala Nosin Panim Ba'avuru L'doro Shakol Nizonin B'Zechuso, that there were some individuals that were so great that the entire world ate, that the entire world got food out of the zchus of this individual, that this individual was alive. So Hashem said the whole world gets food this year because this person is alive. Who was like this? Kagon Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Kedam Rinan Be'alma. Like we say, where do we have this? Mesechus Tainus. We learned this for those of us who have been here since Tainus. We learned this in Tainus, that Kol HaOlam Eino Nizon Ela B'Shvil Chanina Banai. That Hashem says that the whole world is not getting food, or they would not have gotten food if not for my son, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And so when we say that the Naso Panim, that the respected people, that they are going to be destroyed as well, we mean the people who are so great that the entire world respects them, or like the heavens respect them. He's respected Lamala because of the fact that the whole world eats food because of him. Lamata and Kigon Rabbi Abahu Bekisar. And then we say that also the people who were like respected below. What does it mean respected below? So it says go back to Rashi, then at the very next Rashi, Lamata Malchi Ha'umos Mechabdin Osan B'Shvilo, that you have the kings of the other nations of the world, that they honor Osan, they honor us. Why? B'Shvilo, out of the honor of this one individual, Kagon Rabbi Abahu, like this individual Rabbi Abahu, Shehaya Chashuv B'Beis HaMelech, because he was an important employee in the house of the king, Kedar Mirin B'Mesech HaSanhedrin, Dahavu Nafke Amhasa D'Bei Kisar Le'ape, that he did important work in the Caesar's house, and therefore the Caesar respected him, and therefore the kings of other nations respected him, and therefore this is another respectable individual, and evidently an individual like this was also wiped out pre or as a result of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So again, lamata kegon Rabbi Abba Beit Kisar, Rabbi Abahu Beit Kisar, he was destroyed, people like him were destroyed. Yoetz, and we also said that an advisor was destroyed. Who was the advisor? Sheyodea la'aber shanim v'lekboa chadashim. There was a special skill that people used to have, and we're so spoiled nowadays, we have our fixed calendar, but back in the day, there were experts, mathematical geniuses, who understood exactly how the calendar worked, and knew that there were some times when you had to intercalate, that's a fancy way of saying making a leap year, you had to make a leap month, which basically that means sometimes you had to intercalate and add a 30th day to the month. So you had these masters who knew how to do this. So that's what an advisor is. Those people were wiped out. So the calendars were destroyed. The chacham and the scholar was destroyed. Zet tam and hamachkim es rabosav. So this is specifically talking about who's a chacham. So fine, you have a chacham, a regular chacham. Fine, that's one level. But the chacham that we're speaking about over here is specifically a wise tam and chacham who he is so wise that he makes his rabbeim smarter. Hamachkim es rabosav. His rabbeim gets smarter from teaching him. Charashim. And then the pasuk says further. Further charashim. B'shash aposeach b'divrei Torah hakol nasin kecherishim. Right. So the pasuk specifically said that it was like the scholar of scholars. So it's unclear if this is like two different points over here, or if this is just one group of people. But anyways, one of them was that the chacham, that this is someone who the student makes his rebbeim smarter, and then the charashim, the of scholars part of the pasuk is that b'shash b'posech b'divrei Torah, that the second, this individual, again, I'm not sure whether this is the individual we were just referring to or this is a whole new individual, but probably the former, that it's the previous individual that we were speaking about. So b'shash aposech b'divrei Torah, that when this person would start opening his mouth to speak words of Torah, everyone becomes like a chayrish. Everyone becomes like a deaf person, because everyone, or a deaf mute person, because everyone wants to hear what this guy has to say. So everyone in the base manager is speaking, but then some guy pops in and he starts speaking. He is so respected. He is such a talmid chacham that everyone just stops talking. So that's what it means. Charashim means chayrishim. Everyone becomes like mute, because everyone wants to listen to him share Torah. V'navon, and then we said a navon, like a comprehender. This is the 16th curse. Zehamivin davar mitoch davar. This is someone who's able to like to make deductions. He can like deduce one thing, like one fact, from another fact. I'm not sure if this exactly means that he's able to make kal v'chomers or what this actually means entirely, but evidently someone who's intelligent enough that he can infer, he could deduce one thing from another. Lachash, that we said that he's a navon lachash. He's like a comprehender of whispers, but they're two separate things. One is that he's a navon, and the other is that he's a lachash. So zesharai limsor lo dibre Torah shenisna belachash. This is someone who's able, he's fitting to give that you can give over to him the words of Torah that were given belachash in whisper. I'm not entirely sure what this means either. The way Rashi explains it is that sharai limsor lo kigon av beizdin belibo doeg bekirbo. Like an av beizdin, for example, is someone like this, that he has like a heart that worries a lot, and therefore he's able, I guess, to get the more sensitive Torah topics. I guess that's what it means, like the more sensitive Torah topics. And then benasati na'arim sarehem. And then the pasuk says that I'm going to make the young people, I'm going to make them like be the rulers. So my benasati na'arim sarehem. What does it mean that I'm going to make the young people the rulers? Amar Rabbi Elazar ilu bnei adam sheminu arim min ha-mitzvos. These are the people who are empty of mitzvos. They got no mitzvos whatsoever. V'ta'alulim yimshalu bam, and the mockers are going to rule over them. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Tale Banai Tale, that these are the foxes, the sons of foxes. Fox, when we say a fox, we mean like someone who's like weak, or someone who's like a Russia, a wicked person. So these types of people, they're going to rule over the Jewish people. So you're going to have the people who are empty of mitzvos, they're going to rule over, and you have the people who are like the wicked, they're going to rule over everyone as well. Okay, now, with all that, says the Gemara further, V'lonis kara daito ad shamar lehem, yahavu hanar b'zakin v'hanikla b'nechbad, right, that the All right. Some people say this text is included. Some people say it's not. Fine. Whatever it is, that Yirmiyahu was the Yeshayahu rather didn't feel like he had given enough curses until he got to the last one. And what was the last one again? So it was Elu. So what was the meaning of the curse? What was he exactly getting to? Elu b'nei Adam shemunu aram in a mitzvos yarhavu b'mi shememula b'mitzvos kirimon. That the people who are empty of mitzvos, that they're going to rule over the people who are full of mitzvos. Van nikleb b'nechkad. These individuals, Yavo mi shechamuros domos alav kechalos, v'yarhavu b'mi shekalos domos alav kechamuros. So this means that when we said before that like the base individuals, they're going to be domineering over the respectable individuals. So this means that you have people who view chamor sins like they're nothing. So I don't know. I don't want to make an assumption of what's chamor and what's kal, but the very, very serious sin, they treat it like it's a nothing. Whatever everyone does, it's not a big deal. And so that's one group of people. Then you have people who have like the tiniest of there. It's just not a big deal. Everyone does it, but they treat it so seriously. Right? That was when I was in yeshiva. Someone once asked, like, what are these gedolim? You see the gedolim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They're crying their eyes out. What in the world are they doing tshuva for? What? They violated, they spoke Lashon Hara? Like, what did they do wrong? And so the answer is that, you know, we have no idea what they actually did, but they probably did something, right? Like even the great Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have done one chit, and so yeah, they do something that only on their level is really a chit, and so that's what the Gemara seems to be referring to over here. That you have someone who he views the lightest of sins as like a very chamor sin. So this latter group that views the strict that views the light sins like strict sins, they're going to be ruled over by the people who view the strict sins as light sins. Meaning the people who are bigger Rashaim, they're going to rule over the tzaddikim. That's the basic idea. Okay, now with all of this said, the Gemara goes further with the statement of Rav Katina. Amar Rav Katina, afilu b'shas kishlona shel Yerushalayim, lo pasku mehem balei amana. So evidently Rav Katina says that despite all of this, all these curses, all of these people that are going to be destroyed, Rav Katina teaches that even in the time of the destruction of Yerushalayim, there was one group of people who never ceased to exist. And who was that? The Balei Amana, the people who were the truth tellers. Evidently, people who were emistika yidin, they never left the Jewish people. Shenemar, ki yisp, Shenemar, ki yispoch ish biachiv, beis aviv simla lecha, katzin tziyeh lanu. That when a man will grab hold of his brother of the house of his father and say that you have that you have a garment and therefore like be a chief for us. This is a little bit of a cryptic pasuk, but with the Gemara is going to explain this now. So devarim shebnei adam miskasim kisimla yishanim tachas yadcha. That the Torah matters that a person is going to like hide themselves with a garment if they are not aware of what that matter is. Meaning like, sometimes there are some matters of Torah that you expect a person to know, a great Torah person, or someone who at least acts as a great Torah person, you expect them to know something. So these types of people, if they don't know it, they would have to cover themselves with a garment out of the shame that they feel, that they don't know the Torah. So therefore, what Rav Katina is saying over here is very simple. That how do you know that the truth, that the trustworthy people, that the truth-telling people never left the Jewish nation? Because you have these individuals who they would hide themselves so that they really couldn't be found so well when they were, so that people can come to ask them questions. V'amechsheles hazos, and then the pasuk seems to go further that my v'amechsheles hazos. What's like this michshol? What are we referring to over here? Zavarim she'in b'nei adam om din alayana ela imkin nichshal behen yishtanan tachas yadcha. These are the things that people are not able to stand up and they're not capable of doing without stumbling a little bit. Meaning, so the words of Torah are things that people can't usually get through without stumbling over them at the beginning, and then they are able to succeed over them. So then the pasuk says, says further in the very next pasuk, Yisa b'yom ha'huli morlo eyecholi shubibisi ein lechem ein simla lo tasimoni katzin am. And then so the pasuk says that he shall raise up an oath that day, saying, I will not be a ruler, and in my house there is no bread and no garment. Do not install me as the chief of the people. So Yisa in Yisa el lashon shavua. So when we say Yisa, we mean that it's like a swear. How do we know that the word Yisa, the to raise up, it means like a vow? Shenemar lo tisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha. You're not supposed to take God's name in vain. Meaning you shouldn't swear in God's name. So that's, you know, Yisa means to swear. And lo eyachovish lo hayisi lo eyachovish, that the person's going to say that I will not be a ruler. So lo hayisi mechuvashi beis hamedrash. What the person is saying over here is that I never gathered in the beis medrash. Ube beisi in lechem ein simla. And in my house there's no bread and no garments. Shein biadi lo mikra ve lo mishnah ve lo gemara. That the guy is admitting, I don't know psukim, I don't know mishnayos, I don't know gemara. Okay, so basically, well, that's it. Let's pause for a second. We just said a lot. Rav Katina was trying to make a point that there are some individuals who were left over even despite all the curses that were brought down that Yeshaya prophesied about, except for the trustworthy people. Who were the trustworthy, truth-telling people? Those individuals who were honest about their Torah knowledge. Meaning all the great Torah scholars seem to have been wiped out. We know that already because that's what Yeshaya outlines. But there were individuals who were left to return to in the absence of the other individuals, and they said, you know, people at Shiloh, so they asked them the Shilohs, and they said, we just don't know. We didn't learn the Beis Medrash. We didn't learn Tanakh. We didn't learn the Pesukim. We didn't learn the Gemaras, the Mishnayos. And so because, even though that's humiliating, their honesty is what gave them some sort of a zechus, that they were considered truth-telling people. They were Amaratzim, I guess, but they were truth-telling nonetheless. Now the Gemara is going to question if this is really true. Were there really truth-telling people that were left, and or were they really, maybe all the truth-telling people were wiped out? The Dilma Shani Hasim Di Amar Lihu Gamirna Amrele Emelon. So Havale the Mimar Gamar Veshachach. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Maybe they're not just truth-telling people. Maybe the reason why they told the truth is because if they said that they were Torah scholars, come ask us questions, and then they ask them what they learned and what they know and what the answer to the Shaila is, and they can't answer them. So because they say Amrele Emelon, they say, come tell us the answer. So it must be that they're not just truth-tellers because they just didn't want to be cornered. But if they would not have to be worried about being cornered, about being caught in a lie, then they would lie. So they're not such truth tellers after all. So says the Gemara, no. How will they, the Mimar Gamar Veshachach? No, because they could have said that I learned this. It's a good Shaila. I learned it. I remember when I was in Smicha, I learned it, but I forgot it. So since they could have said that instead, so therefore the fact that they just came right out and said, we don't know anything, that shows that they're truth tellers indeed. My lo eyechovish, what does it mean when we said a second ago that this person will not be a ruler? Meaning lo eyechovish, klal, meaning I'm not fit to be a ruler over anything. Ani, is this really so? V'hamarava lo charva Yerushalayim acha pasku mimena balei amana. That Rava says that the Yerushalayim lo charva Yerushalayim acha pasku mimena balei amana. Like the destruction of Yerushalayim came, including who else was destroyed? The people who were truth tellers. Shneamar shotetu bechutzos Yerushalayim v'ra'u na v'da'u u'bikshu birchavo seha im tinsu ish im os. Ish im yesh osa mishpat mivakish emuna ve'eslach la. That it says, the pasuk says, walk about in the streets of Yerushalayim and see now, and go through all the different plazas, if you will find a single man. If there is one who dispenses justice and who seeks the truth, and I will forgive her. Meaning, essentially, the thought was that there is not a single truth-telling person. The pasuk says explicitly, no one told the truth. So on the one hand, we seem to have this teaching of Rav Katina that says, no, the truth-telling people survived. They were the ones who continued to live on, even though all these other people were wiped out, because they have these people who were not such big Torah scholars, and they admitted, we are not big Torah scholars. But then you had this other pasuk that seems to imply that people were never telling the truth, that they lied, because you had people going around looking. If you had one truth teller, then Yerushalayim would be forgiven. So it must be no truth teller was alive. So how could this be? Lo kash. It says the Gemara, lo kash. Now we're on the top of Yudalad Amabiz. So the answer is, how do you make sense of the contradiction? Ha b'divrei Torah, ha b'masa umatan. There are two categories of truth tellers. You have the people who tell the truth regarding words of Torah, and you have the people who tell the truth regarding business. B'divrei Torah havu, b'masa umatan lo havu. The people who told the truth over Torah matters, they were still alive. But the people who told the truth over business matters, those people were not still alive. Meaning, you had people who were not honest in business, not a single honest person in business, but who was still alive, the people who were able to admit that they were not fully comprehensive and fully knowledgeable about their Torah knowledge. But the business people, they were not really honest at all. Alright, so with that, I think we will stop here, and God willing, next week we'll pick up from the top on the second line of Yud Dalad Amud Beis. Wish everyone a beautiful week, and yeah, God willing, see anyone who wants to come tomorrow night to the Experience Shemashiach.
Probably we'll see you tomorrow night, for sure.